Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Ellen Wedner.
So, my story is about when we bought our first house in Miami. We have a loft in New York, and my husband was there, so I got to pick this house all by myself. And one of my clients said to me, you really need to look in Buena Vista because there's beautiful tree canopy and old homes. It's a historic district. One of the charms of Buena Vista in the 1990s was that it was not quite gentrified yet. And so the neighborhood was this marvelous mix, young people and me, not so young people, and Haitians who had lived there a very long time. So I kept driving around and around, and I finally found the house that would be the house of my dreams. And I was so happy, and I purchased the house. And the one caveat was when it was time to move, my husband would come and help me. And, well, he was at least there, but he helped me. And we moved into the house, and it's our first night in the house. And this is the first house I've owned in South Florida. And we've had five different properties that we rented, but this is our house. And we go to bed, and it's all wonderful. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. And I look over, and my husband is sitting straight up in bed with saucer eyes because we are listening to a rooster crow. Now, we've bought this house, and we're going to have a rooster waking us up at 4 o'clock every morning. We realized 3 or 4 homes down from our house on Sundays that, you know, all the men, and they were mostly older men, would bring a straight back chair out. They would plop a portable radio. It was 1990s, portable radio down, and they would listen to music and argue in Creole about all kinds of things, I'm sure. And we suddenly realized that if you walked up the street and you made enough noise, in the back of their house must have been the chicken coop. And it was just, you know, what they did. That's how they live. And I did on one of those Sunday afternoons go up and say, does anyone own any chickens? And I know that they knew what I was saying, but I suspect it wasn't very legal to own chickens in our neighborhood, or maybe any neighborhood in Miami, or maybe in all of South Florida. So I guess no one really wanted to admit to me there were chickens, in fact, there, although you could sometimes hear them. And of course, we could always hear that rooster. So it was sort of the elephant in the neighborhood, if you will, except in the form of a chicken. And the funny thing about this is, if you don't know this, when you actually get used to that, you never wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because you get used to the rooster. And that's all fine and good. Now, I'm approaching this new house with, although I'm not a DIY girl, I'm going to make it gorgeous. And I do that by planting flowers because my mother used to plant flowers. So you plant flowers. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I plant all the flowers that work in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I think it's going to be great. But I know enough that we have a lot of sun in Florida and I should plant them around trees. So I pick impatiens, which if you haven't seen, are pretty little sweet flowers. And I love impatiens because they come in my favorite colors, pink and pink and pink. And I plant all these pink flowers, and I'm just thrilled. And I go out and I water them, and it's enough shade, and I'm so smart. I know what I'm doing. And, of course, I have to go out every morning and water them. So 2 or 3 days go by. It's all going well. The flowers are gorgeous. And I come out one morning, and there's no flowers. Now, there's a stalk. There's leaves. The flowers are gone. There's nothing there. They're literally not there. They're not on the ground. They haven't shed. They're not there. And I can't figure it out. So I do what any normal person would do. I go to the garden center. I buy more flowers. I plant more flowers. I pull those out, plant more flowers. And I come back the next day, and the flowers are gone. And I have a wall in front of my house, and it's 5 or 6 feet tall, and on top of it is wrought iron fencing, and the driveway gate is a wrought iron fence. And I'm sitting in my office, which is in the front of the house, looking out the window. Okay, so I was daydreaming, and all of a sudden I see it. There's a chicken squeezing through the wrought iron rails in my driveway gate and taking itself to my backyard, and then I see more chickens. Now, I might not have mentioned this was Buena Vista, and Buena Vista is sandwiched between Little Haiti, it's sort of the southern part of Little Haiti, and the Design District. And this is the 90s, so it's not the Design District we have today. And there are people that live there that have chickens, but I don't know that. And I didn't know the chickens were particularly partial to impatience. So I say to friends of mine, I don't know what to do. I have chickens. And what do I do with the chickens? I mean, I can't catch them. And I don't want to really catch them. And so they say, well, you call the Animal Rescue League. So I call the Animal Rescue League, and I tell my sad story about my flowers and the chickens. And finally, I get to the end, and this man, who is an animal rescue person, he's going to save me. I know he is. And he says to me, you have to call KFC. And I have to think about it because I don't eat fast food. And I finally realize what he's saying. And I say to him, that's the meanest thing I've ever heard. And I hang up the phone. So I really don't know what to do. And my two friends come back and they say to me, we've solved it. We know exactly what to do. Plant your impatience and we'll put chicken wire on your fence. And I lived in that house for 18 years with chicken wire on my fence. However, my same two friends brought me the one thing that they thought I could never live without. And to this day, I still have it, even though I've moved to West Palm Beach. I have a cement rooster outside my door, just in case there are any chickens in West Palm Beach.
Ellen Wedner with a story about finding a surprise when moving into a new house.
There's always something that you didn't expect. And in this case, it was the cock-a-doodle-doo of a rooster.
This was 30 years ago, and there's still roosters throughout Miami.
I believe it. This is a very diverse area, and it makes perfect sense that in some people's cultures, they keep roosters. I know roosters are a part of ritual, and chickens are a part of ritual, and chickens are certainly a part of eating for some people. And look, it makes sense.
Well, you need chickens to make eggs, and you need the rooster to help make those eggs? I don't know.
You'll have to explain that to me later, Michael. I'm not sure how that works. But this is a lovely story about city mouse and country mouse. I think that's the archetype here. This is a woman who comes not only from Pittsburgh, which is a city with an industrial past, if not present, but it certainly is a major-sized city. But then she has a loft in Manhattan with all that word entails.
No roosters in Manhattan.
Not too many. And she comes wide-eyed and open to see what South Florida has to offer, what Miami has to offer, she and her husband. And were they in for a surprise?
I like how her husband gave her the assignment to buy the house. She found the perfect house in Buena Vista. She kind of disparages him, saying he didn't really help as much as she hoped, but he does wake up at 4 a.m. and must have not thought real nice of that house.
Interesting thing about this story, we don't get too much of that anger from anywhere around, whether it's husband and wife blame or whether it's her anger about the chick. We don't feel that. We feel humor and what am I going to do about this problem?
The only anger I felt was how insulted she was told to go to KFC for this problem.
I know. That's a very good point. This is somebody who wanted her chicken problem to go away, but she didn't want the chickens to be eaten, for heaven's sake. Yeah, there's a lot of goodwill in this story.
Well, it's apparently not a problem to the city if there's chickens and roosters running around.
Or at least not then. And I don't get the sense that they were running around. They were probably only in her yard. But there are a number of classic devices and storytelling in this story. And the first one is that rooster. That rooster is kind of a foreshadowing. In other words, you think, perhaps, I thought when I heard the story, that this story is about what do I do? A rooster's waking me up every morning. But very quickly, she says, you get used to it. And what she might have said is, you know, you live in another part of the country or even of the area, and you hear a train go by every night. That's in my house. I hear a train in the morning and at night, and I don't think twice about it anymore. It wakes guests up. It doesn't wake me up. So very quickly, that was just the foreshadowing. Then she comes to the mystery, another great aspect of storytelling. Not only once, but twice, the heads are eaten off the flowers. Who's doing this? So she's got a real nice instinct for how you string an audience along, how you keep people listening and wondering what's next.
And she was funny. She has a sense of humor.
I love when she said the impatience came in her favorite colors, pink, pink, and pink.
And she adapted to the environment. The rooster doesn't bother her anymore, and she got chicken wire, so it doesn't bother her flowers anymore.
And she solved this problem. She says she's not a do-it-yourselfer, but she solved this problem with the help of a little help from her friends. And she didn't have to cause any problems with the neighbors. Like you say, the worst problem was with the authorities who told her, send them to KFC, which is rather shocking to me, actually. But the real classic elements of the story are here, besides the foreshadowing, besides the mystery that needed to be solved, the problem that needed to be solved. And finally, we learn a whole lot about a storyteller when we hear the way she tells a story. Somebody else telling this story. Now, I interrupt myself by saying she has the benefit of hindsight. Maybe right after this happened, she was a little bit more up in arms about it. But she tells it in such a laid-back, delightful way that we just go along with it without really feeling like, oh, people shouldn't have chickens in their yard. You just put up chicken. When life hands you chickens, you put up chicken wire. That's my new expression.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C, N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at FAU.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at WLRN.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.